Well, it's lovely to be leading this morning. I just said to die this morning. I hope she doesn't mind, be embarrassed. But before we were married, I still remember one day driving to church one evening. We were going out and we'd fallen in love. I can't remember quite whether we were engaged or not. But I had a dream. I just dreamt of us doing things together in God's house. And you know, for 40 years, maybe a bit less, we've had the opportunity to do that. But I'll never forget going to a church one Sunday morning, a big church, to preach at the early 8 o'clock service. And the previous Sunday, Di had played the organ at that church. It wasn't our church, but she helped out there. And the following week, I went there to preach. And as I was shaking people's hands at the door, one dear lady came to me and said, "It was lovely having your daughter play for us last week." I was only 31. But anyway, she still looks young, doesn't she? Now, how many of you here, would you mind telling me, went on a reasonably lengthy journey over the Christmas period? Yes, Cliff has been brave enough to put up his hand. You went to Florida, didn't you, Cliff? And then you had quite a drive after the plane ride. Yeah. How was the drive?
Very fretful because, well, me and Cliff weren't getting on with the directions at the time.
No, you didn't quite. All right. Well, there you go. That's what happens on a journey. Sean.
3 hours.
3 hours. Sean.
Just down the down.
And? Easy. There you are. So there's somebody who had a bit of a difficult journey, and there's somebody who had a lovely, clear journey. Oh, and how was your journey?
All right.
It's good. Well, you see, journeys differ, don't they? So I remember a long time ago, when we still only had three children, we had a little red VW Golf Series 1, and we were traveling a long way in South Africa from Durban to Pretoria, which is in miles, about 400 or so miles, and we were about a quarter of the way climbing through the Midlands of KwaZulu-Natal, and the car went... And I didn't know what the story was. And then I waited a bit, and after about 10 minutes, I started it. Boom! Came to life, and off we went. And after about 20 minutes, it went... So I realized it was something electrical. Anyway, to cut a long story short, what we did in those days when the children were small is that we would leave at about 4 in the afternoon, have a pit stop at about 6:30, change them, and give them some food, put them in the back of the car, fall down the seat, and off we'd go. So they endured two or three of these 15-minute stops on the side of the motorway, and then eventually we struggled on through the night, and we got home at about, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning? Should have been home at 9. Well, you might have think that's not a problem, but it was a little bit because our neighbors had our key. So... however, fortunately, we called them at about 9:30 to say, "Look, we're not really due home for quite a while, if you don't mind. Would you leave our key somewhere?" So that wasn't the pleasant of journeys. But other times, we've done that same route, and it's been a lovely, streamlined, clear journey all the way, and the kids haven't been a problem. And journeys differ. Try South London on a Friday afternoon coming from Greenwich. I've done it. So, they have their highs and lows. And you know, life is a journey. And life has its highs and lows. And whether you believe it or not, or whether you like it or not, every person on this earth is on a spiritual journey, whether they know it or they know it not. Because God created us as spiritual beings. We read in Genesis, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." And in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7, we read, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Life is a journey. And not only are there highs and lows, there seeming delays like I had, wrong roads like Cliff had. Some of us, of course, sitting here have traveled much longer on the journey of life than others. But eventually, all our life's journeys will come to an end. And you would remember, those of you who were here last week, that Phil spoke to us about the clock and where we are on the clock. I was a little bit disturbed to realize how far around the clock I am. However, we're on this journey. And some of you may have read the 17th century classic by John Bunyan called The Pilgrim's Progress. It's quite old language, but it's about a fellow called Christian who was on the journey through life, and all the difficulties and temptations and highs and lows that he had to endure. Ups and downs, valleys and plains. But of course, I would not be faithful to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning if I didn't ask you, are you on the journey with Jesus? Or are you on the journey on your own? Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Hear what Jesus said? The broad, easy road that most people are going down leads to destruction. The narrow road can be windy and challenging sometimes, leads to life. And few there are that find it. There was once a king who had a jester. You know what a jester is? A jester is the funny man, or the fool, if you like. So many years ago, there was this king who had a jester, and of course he was the court jester who was employed specifically to humor the king and, of course, maybe his guests and courtiers at certain times. One day the jester went to the king and said, "O king, I think it's time for me to move on." He wanted to go to greener pastures, so if you like, he gave in his notice. And the king was sad to see him go, but he said, "You know, you are the greatest fool," meaning the funniest guy, "the greatest fool," stupidity if you like in some ways, "that I've ever come across." And he gave him his scepter, and he said, "If you ever come across a greater fool than thou or than you, give him the scepter." And so off went the jester. Few years later, he heard that the king was really ill. And so he made the journey back to the king's court and palace. And he went in to see the king, who was on his bed, actually his deathbed. And the king said to him, "Ah, jester, good to see you." He said, "I'm about to go on a long journey." And the jester said to him, "O king, what preparations have you made for your journey?" And the king said, "I've made no preparations." And the jester took out the scepter And he gave it to the king. And he said, King, you are a greater fool than I. The people of Israel in our reading were benefiting from a promise that God had made through Joseph 400 years before. And many of those years after Joseph died and things changed, the Egyptians made the Jews into slaves. And some of the pyramids that stand today would have no doubt been built, partly built by Jewish slaves many, many years ago. And then God, through Moses, started to take them back to the promised land as he had promised. God always fulfills his promises. And so they started. And you remember the story on the night after the 10th plague, when all the firstborn in Egypt except the Jewish boys or children died, Pharaoh said, get out of here. And so off they went, and they were led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, so they could travel by day or night. That's why you've got headlights on your car. And what happened? Pharaoh changed his mind. He probably had some, you know, politics guys saying, how can you let these guys go? You know, these guys work for me and they're building my stuff and I pay you taxes and all the rest. And so off he went and he said, let's go and catch them. Soon as the Israelites saw this, they thought, oh, Moses, why did you bring us up here to die? We could have died there. Wah, 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 wah. And Moses said, just stand still and trust the Lord. They were on a journey. They were being led on that journey. But there were challenges. The Egyptians were chasing them. Then they came to the Red Sea. How did we cross that? God made a way. Then they were thirsty. Why do you hear we get water? God provided them with water. God provided them with food. But all the way along, they were moaning and worrying and fretting. But God had it in hand. And sometimes the journey through life is hard. But there are many, many promises in God's word assuring us of his continual presence with us. If I can find my phone in my pocket, I'll read just some of them to you that mean an awful lot to me. Can you remember what Joshua was told by the Lord when he was facing something really challenging? At the end of the Israelites' journey through the wilderness, which took them 40 years instead of probably 6 months because of their disobedience, he's about to cross into the promised land. Joshua's now in charge. He's probably concerned. What am I going to find? What did God say? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord God is with you wherever you go. And then even earlier than that, I should have read this a bit earlier. Jacob was on a journey to a land he didn't know, but where some relatives were. And he had a dream one night. Amazing dream of a ladder going up to heaven and angels going up and down. What did God say to him? He said to him, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That's God's promise to you. And God gave me that promise in 1995, and here I am in this land. And then, what did Jesus say? He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Think about that as you pray for our country this week. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Those are God's promises to us on our journey. So I need to ask you this morning, what has your spiritual journey been like so forth. What has your life's journey been like? Just look at your life's journey. What has your life's journey been like? Completely smooth road, no problems, no anxieties, no fears. Anybody here? Not a blip on the road? Absolute cruise? Hey Joe, has that been your life's journey? That isn't life, folk. That isn't life. So look back for a moment. Maybe smashed dreams, could be broken relationships, could it be an illness. Look back over your life. Have you taken some wrong roads that have not ended up being good ones? Have you progressed? And now, looking ahead, what do you think your journey looks like? None of us knows what tomorrow holds. I might not be on this earth tomorrow. None of us knows. But we don't start a journey saying, I don't know if I'm going to do anything because my car might break down when I'm just a few miles out. Well, I'm not going to do anything because I don't really know where to go. Well, I'm not going to do anything because I don't feel like it. What a journey. And Jesus called some disciples to follow him. Remember? 12 disciples, and he said, follow me. And they left their boats and they followed him and they started on a completely new journey because Jesus called them to that journey. Some of us, our lives don't change too radically in terms of the physical path, circumstantial path we're walking. Some do change radically, all right? Like some, I remember reading or hearing about one chap who was a virulent, fanatical Islamist who was going around the world to recruit people. And he was gloriously saved in a prison in Malaysia. Started preaching, and they thought, we can't have this guy here. So they thought, we'll export him to Pakistan. He had about 20 passports. We'll export him to Pakistan, and they'll sort him out there, this guy who's become a Christian. And by God's grace, somehow, the plane he was on landed in Bangladesh. And of course, he was able to get through. And he ended up at a Hindu home. And he witnessed to the Hindu priest, whose whole family was converted. And so a church started. Now, I would think you would agree with me that that guy's journey kind of changed in a radical direction because of what God did in his life. So we have maps and we have sat-navs. What is your spiritual sat-nav? What is your spiritual map? It's this. It's your Bible. It's all here. It's all here. Now, I think you would agree with me that if you hadn't a clue where to go on quite a long journey, and maybe not even foreign territory, maybe a foreign land, and you're going somewhere, you're not going by public transport, which is hopefully guaranteed to take you there. You are going on your own in a car, or you're walking, whatever you're doing. I think you would agree with me that it would be rather foolish not to have a map or a sat-nav. Okay? Because you don't know how to get there. And if you want, looking ahead into this year, 2019, if you want to follow Jesus the way he wants you to go, forgive me, but I'll be blunt, you would be foolish not to consult the map on a regular basis. Now, let me give you an example. I'm going on a journey. I don't know where this place is, but I'm very good. I look at the map. And I look at some things on the map and say, okay, that's it. Now remember, my journey is probably going to be about 500 miles. So I look at the map and say, okay, yeah, that town, that town, that town. Great. I close the map, I get into my car the next morning, and I try to rely on my memory. Am I likely to get there? Not me. Maybe you would. Maybe your memory is very good. But I certainly wouldn't. I'll have to keep consulting that map. I remember years ago, before Satnavstar and I came over here on holiday, we were going north, we needed a map to know how to get through Yorkshire and get up the right road to Scotland. And I couldn't just look at the map the night before and say, okay, I think I know where I'm going. How much are you relying on Sunday mornings or on your memory to fulfill this journey in Christ? I need to consult this map every day. And you know what? I love it. Because every day I get some directions of some kind in the map. And so what lies ahead for you? The Bible says, your word is a light unto my path and a lamp for my feet. And here's just a story to close with, or nearly close with. When I was a boy, I read virtually all the books. Have I lost this? That's it, yeah. I nearly read all the some nurse would come running up and knock on his door and say, somebody's very ill, we need you, Dr. White. And they'd run back. And he had to find his way down to the hospital in the pitch dark through the long grass. What did he do? Sensibly, he took a lamp so he could see where the path was, if there were any snakes on the path, and he'd get down to the hospital. He needed to be there because somebody needed him urgently. Your word, says the Bible, is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. This is the map, folk, that you need to consult daily in order to get to follow this journey as God wants you to follow it. And He's got a wonderful journey for you. Wonderful, you say? So how is it that my brother got killed in an accident? Is that a wonderful journey for me? Wonderful, you say? So how is it that I was diagnosed with this? Well, you see, how is it that my car broke down and I didn't even expect it? And how is it that somebody goes on a journey and they never end that journey because something happens on the way? That's the world we live in. Question is, do you want to mudge through it without the Savior? Or do you want a God who loves you so desperately that He gave His only Son to pay for your sin, to say, I love you so much, I don't want you to go through this journey you own because you'll get hurt. It leads to destruction. It's broad and easy. Come with me. Give your life to me. Surrender your heart to me. Ask me into your life. And let me tell you, I will lead you in this journey. And so finally, it's a good idea to write down your spiritual goals for the year and review them on a monthly basis. Close with this scripture. Psalm 37, 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. God bless you as you embark on the next phase of your journey in life, which happens in 2019.